It's now time for a quick edition of Game Pass or Pass bonus episode. We're here to talk about the most recent earth-shattering video game news, the Activision buyout of Microsoft. We had a couple requests in our text messages about how we feel about this naturally. Some of the biggest news we've had. So we're going to just do a quick little side episode here just to talk and give our response on it. I am Corey. I am joined by Basher.
What's the deal, good sirs?
We both have something that is going around in the world, so I apologize if we sound a little strange, and I will do my best to cut out coughs, etc. We do not even live in the same state, yet we both managed to catch this thing. Why AIDS. Am I avoiding it? We have COVID. I don't know why. I'm talking about it as if it's COVID.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. So we might sound a little strange, et cetera, et cetera. Just want to give that at the top of the show. So we're going to do our best here. But no, shockingly, yesterday, Microsoft announced they will be purchasing Activision, which includes Activision and Blizzard IPs, Diablo, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, Crash Bandicoot, and it has sent shockwaves. It is the biggest deal in gaming history in terms of dollars and cents wise. And we were talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. So how do we feel? How do we feel about this news?
My gut reaction is great if you have Game Pass, but if you're just personally speaking, as just like a gamer in general, like it kind of sucks in a way where it's like Microsoft is doing his Microsoft thing, where this is how they became Microsoft. They just bought out the little guys, but at the same time, it's like I always kind of thought of gaming as a quote-unquote safe space, if you will, for like creativity, like kind of like one of the few last bastions of billion-dollar business, yet still creatively, competitively driven markets. This kind of muddles the water a bit for me, where it's kind of like, on the one hand, that's great for business. On the other hand, it's almost Microsoft admitting, listen, we can't beat the other two just in terms of games, just creatively great output games. So we're just going to buy out people that make the better games, and it's a strategy, and it's probably going to work out for them.
I don't think that's a bad take, but as we've sort of sat on it and sort of some more information has come out about it, to me, it seems the Bethesda buyout to me is more akin to that. It was more of, they right. saw an opportunity to be like, you know, they have one of the biggest RPG franchises in the world. We need RPGs. We need basically all content. They've got Doom. They've got Quake. Like, it's an opportunity to expand our portfolio and our assets, and at the same time, pick up a lot of dev talent that can help in various ways. Activision has been in a weird spot lately with all their accusations and Bobby Kotick and sexual misconduct allegations and all those other things. And at first I was like, no, I don't think that played into this. And then I was like, well, of course that played into this. Like, that was a very dumb thought to have. And then it sort of kind of came out that this deal only really started in October, which is really when things started ramping up for them, of just like this, it wasn't going to go away. Activision was not able to basically make the problem just go away. And so you've got Bobby Kotick who he's not going to get out of this one. Like it's going to end with his resignation. And you know, the man, he took Activision from a company that was going bankrupt to $8 billion a year. So he wants his payday. He's already rich, whatever, but like, that's capitalism, right? It's dumb. That's not fair. I'm not here to talk about capitalism. So it kind of makes sense. Like, they were looking for a buyer. It came out that they went to Facebook and said, hey, will you buy us? Like, you're doing the metaverse and stuff. And apparently Facebook didn't bite. And so, but Microsoft did. And I really think that's all it comes down to in this situation, is they saw an opportunity and they took it. Like, I don't think they were actively looking for a buyout. Like, the Bethesda one makes sense. Like, Bethesda and Xbox have sort of always been hand in hand. Like, they've always had tight partnerships. You know, besides Call of Duty selling best on Xbox 360 for a long time, Activision always goes where the money is. And that's where I think this instance is too. If Sony had the capital in hand, they probably could have taken out loans and stuff, but Sony doesn't have $70 billion to spend the way Microsoft does. So I personally think that's how this deal came, is that Microsoft had the money, and why not? Like, why not pick up the biggest IP in the world right now, which is Call of Duty, and that comes along with it all these dormant IPs,
which are going to stay dormant, right?
I don't think so, actually. Like, I really don't.
Like, I really don't think I'm going to see a brand spanking new Spyro the Dragon come out on Xbox anytime soon.
This is also my other take on it, to where a lot of people are saying, like, you know, and to their fair point, it's like, this is bad. Consolidation is bad. And I totally agree with you. But Activision wasn't doing well. Like, the reason that, you know, they tried another Tony Hawk, they tried a Crash Bandicoot, they did the Spyro reboot, they did Sekiro. Like, Activision as a publishing brand was doing other things. That's all gone. Like, they announced that they consolidated all of their dev teams, like Toys for Bob, etc., into Call of Duty. Everybody on the Activision side was doing Call of Duty at this point. So you were never going to see Spyro. You're never going to see Crash Bandicoot. On the Blizzard side, Blizzard is a shell of what it formerly used to be. I mean, Overwatch 2 got announced and nobody really cared, and it hasn't come out. Diablo 4 is looking good. Like, people are excited about that one. That Diablo 2 remaster came out that wasn't done by Blizzard. World of Warcraft is on life support. Like, they're not doing well. And I don't think Microsoft intended to purchase them just for Call of Duty. I think that you can like, with the Game Pass model, those IPs that struggled under Activision, like the Spyros and the Crashes, I think Game Pass kind of fixes that problem of a lot of people aren't going to spend $60 on a brand new Crash game. Like, they're not going to spend $60 on a brand new Spyro. People will buy those remasters that come with three games for $40, but you want them to then sort of put up more money for a new game. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way these days. But when you throw in the Game Pass aspect of it, I think you will see those games come back. I don't think they're going to be AAA quality, but I think you will definitely see AA games featuring Spyro and Crash.
Well, I think you're half right, half wishful thinking. Because the best case scenario for all of us is that Microsoft takes those 30-odd studios they claim they purchased years ago for this console, and then they apply those studios to these dormant IPs so that we can see these new old games come back out again. I just truly don't think that's going to happen. I think Microsoft is going to be fairly hands-off, and I think they should be. Excuse me. I don't feel like Microsoft has the greatest track record of being the best GM, if you will, of a gaming team. So I think they should just kind of stay hands off as much as they have been for, as they will be for Bethesda. And in that scenario, which I think is more likely than not, in that scenario, I feel like you're still going to get your Call of Duties. You're going to get your your Overwatches, anything that is already there that's sort of kind of selling, you're still going to get. I don't think we're going to see a revival on Game Pass like we should, however.
I don't think they can be hands-off in the way that they are with Bethesda, because Bethesda was already a well-oiled machine. Unless you are talking about Call of Duty, like, that is the only product that they have reliably put out in the past, what, 5-6 years? So I think when it comes to Call of Duty, I don't think anything's going to change there, especially for the next 3 or 4 years, because those games are on a 3-dev cycle cadence, to where 3 different major IPs. So, like, the deal doesn't close until next summer anyway. So the next 3 or 4 games are already going to be in development by that time. So I don't think you're going to see a change there, but all those rest of those IPs and those dev teams, I think you have to step in, and maybe not right away. Like, maybe you keep them doing the side stuff and the QA and all that stuff for Call of Duty. But when it comes to, like, the Blizzard side, like, I don't think you can just let them do what they're doing now, because it's not working. Whereas when you look at Bethesda, it was working. Like, yes, they take a long time, but it's a proven method, I guess you could say. It works for them. But Activision's on fire. Like, it's not working. I agree that I don't, it's not going to be right away. Like, I don't think when next summer, when this closes, I don't think you have Phil Spencer going to Double Fine and saying, make Crash, you know, something like that. Maybe they will. Maybe, you know, you'll have something like a Double Fine being able to make a Crash game, something like that. I think it will take time, but I don't think there's any way that this doesn't equate to them at least trying. I mean, we got a freaking Battletoads reboot, you know, like, and I the reason we got that, I think, is because of Game Pass. And I think an IP like a Crash is just so much stronger that you can't not. Plus, you get the bragging rights of now you have Crash Bandicoot.
You're absolutely right. And the reason I think it won't happen is because it makes so much sense. Like, that's honestly the reason. I think, again, like, that's the perfect storm of what needs to happen. Microsoft needs to step in and say, all right, we have, because again, if you go back about 5 years now, they announced they bought 20 to 30 like indie studios and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, here's the thing they can do. Like, is just put a few of these teams on a couple of these projects that we haven't seen in a while. And you have just possibly amazing games coming out on Game Pass that, like you said, that people wouldn't normally pay $50, $60, $70 for. But, I mean, time will tell. I don't think it's going to happen. I really think Microsoft is going to be more hands off than hands on with the occasional Spyro type reboot here and there, like very spread out. It's not going to be to the liking of anyone who's looking for those dormant IPs to come back.
Yeah, and I want to, like, I don't think you're going to get a Super Mario Odyssey quality Spyro game out of this. I mean, maybe you will, you never know.
I think you should, though.
But I don't think it's going to happen for the simple fact of, I take that back. I don't think it's going to happen unless, like, Game Pass has to hit like 40 to 50 million subs, which they did announce they hit 25 million. I think they have to hit 40 to 50, I'd say 45 to 50 million before like they're really going to start taking those big risks. Like, we are going to do a fully fledged, you know, open world Spyro game. And because Game Pass mitigates a lot of that risk for them, because they still have income coming in. But I don't think they're there yet. Although I think this deal will definitely help them get there, because I don't think there's any way that the next Call of Duty, even though the deal isn't closed, does not launch on Game Pass this year. I think that's 100% happening, but I guess only time will tell on that one. But I guess that's the other part of this is, you know, we had the similar situation or question when the Bethesda buyout happened. It was like, well, there's no way they're going to make Starfield exclusive. Because think of all the money that they're going to lose out on. And now people are trying to say that with Call of Duty as well. It's like, well, they can't make it exclusive because they sell 10 to 15 million copies on PlayStation. And it's just like, you're not wrong, but you're also thinking short term, in my opinion. I think there is no way that Call of Duty ships on PlayStation following the buyout being complete of next year.
Oh, and at the soonest. Absolutely, at the soonest. At the latest, next generation, like, it's 100% won't be. So, like, either way, it's going exclusive. Like, it's just a matter of time. Like, do you want to do it once the buyout's complete, like, in the ink's dry, or do they want to do it at the beginning of the next generation? I mean, I think it's going to be sooner than later, personally, just because why not? Like, again, like, you're making that money back annually anyway, monthly even, anyway. And on top of that, not everyone who, because of the console shortage, not everyone who wants a new system has a new system. Like, a lot of people don't. So when it comes to buying a new system, you're going to buy the one that has Call of Duty on it. So like,
right. Well, and you know, the Series S is the other part of this equation. Like the Series S is still, a lot of people just hate that little box. And it's just like, you don't get it, man. Like that is the Trojan horse, because even if you are a PlayStation fan, if you buy a PlayStation to only play exclusives on it, that's bad for Sony. Like they want you to play everything on it. And but so with Microsoft, that's the same thing. So if you buy a Series X just to play Call of Duty on it, that's not good for them. But if you buy a Series X or an S and get Game Pass and give them recurring revenue on it, that is a win for them. So then when you have deals like this, like the Series S, it's like, even if you're a hardcore gamer or you're a casual gamer and you can go into a store, and right now they're $299, but you know, there's going to be sales and eventually it will drop in price. It's like $249. And then I have to pay $10, only $10 a month to play the newest Call of Duty plus whatever's coming out. Like, it is very quickly becoming clear, which is what many people have been saying. It's like Game Pass is the long-term play here. And this is just one step further into Microsoft strong arming and being like, look, Sony and Nintendo, you're going to have to play nice with us because we own everything. Like it's a scary thought, but it's a true thought of, if you want Call of Duty, guess what? You're now going to have to support Game Pass. That's the only way you're going to get it. Like, and so eventually they have to give in.
Yeah. And it might be just that too. It might get to that extreme. Like at this point, I foresee Game Pass getting to a point where it is essentially Xbox Gold in a way, where it's like, when you buy the system, you almost are going to have Game Pass.
Right.
If not flat out.
It's stupid to not have it.
Like right now it's stupid not to have it, but I think it's going to get to a point where if you want to play anything on this system, you need to have Game Pass. Like almost, right. like literally, if you want to play it, you have to buy the console and Game Pass. And as scary as that sounds, like, what are you going to do? if they wanted to play that game, like, what would you do?
Right. It's scary. But at the same time, like, they also can't force it. Like we say force it, but I mean more like the consumer is going to drive it. Right. The consumer is ultimately in charge here, because if they buy the console and they're not playing anything on it, then Microsoft's not winning. And then they're not going to buy the next console. People are buying Series S's and they're buying Series X's as well as PlayStation 5. Like, PlayStation is still winning here. Like, they still are selling more consoles in the competition. But like that's not the only game that's at play here anymore. That's not all it's about. And the consumers did the same thing with video. And they said that they want, you know, Netflix took off because people buy it. Like, it's the same thing. If people keep buying Game Pass, it's going to force Sony and Nintendo to start playing ball. And Nintendo already basically is. They just, you know, there's been rumors that have a lot of weight of saying, like, there's been talks about putting some type of Game Pass onto Nintendo. It just hasn't got there yet. Like, the negotiations are not, they're not going bad. It just, the timing isn't there yet. But it's only a matter of time to where, if Sony can't always ignore it, like, at some point you have to play ball, and you're gonna have to make a deal that makes sense for you. If they think they don't need it, great. Like, again, but this is, we're talking years down the line here. Like, Sony does not need to go into panic mode or anything like that. They're gonna be fine. Their bread and butter right now is their first party studios, and then people are playing Fortnite, they're playing Warzone, they're playing these free to play games that are not gonna go anywhere, and they're buying things on them. That's the goal. But long term, Microsoft has 32 studios now. 32 studios making content. Eventually Game Pass will get to that point of, it's like every month to 2 months, maybe even sooner, you're going to have a new game from Microsoft. And it might not be a triple A game, but when you have 32 studios, your cadence of release is going to be very frequent. And that's when it starts getting to the point, it's like, we can't ignore this anymore. We want a cut of this, basically. So that's just my take, though.
No, I agree. It's long-term play is going to be the most eye-opening play. I think Sony has well enough up its sleeve over there to not panic mode now or even later.
Right. They're smart. They're very smart. They will figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, because people figure a lot. it's like you said, people forget a lot about the other streams of revenue. Like SOE is like, what, 40% of the business, I think.
I think it's even more now, but
yeah, like, so like they're absolutely fine. It's just a matter of what will the narrative be in the next 5 to 10 years? Will PlayStation still be synonymous with gaming the way it is now? And if not, will Sony be okay with that, or will they try their best to fight that? It's going to be a very interesting case, but no matter what happens, if you're a Sony gamer, you're pretty much, you're still good in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like, is this, you're not, like, because from my perspective, and I'll end on this, although so much has been gained, quantitative speaking, quality speaking, there's some argument there. How, like, we know Call of Duty is a blockbuster. It sells X amount every year, no matter what. But a lot of gamers have kind of woken up and realized what's going on with other companies. Like, we thought Bethesda was huge. When you think about it, do you really play Rage? Like, do you really play all these? That's the wrong answer.
I played Rage and Rage 2.
You did not play both those games. I didn't even know there was a Rage 2. Like, are you really hyped for Dishonored 3 or something? Like, you know, like, it's like, and we know, like, if once they announce Fallout, it's gonna be like, okay, wait a minute, pause.
Right.
We've been here before. Like, and we know once they announce, or they already announced it, but once the new Elder Scrolls come out, you know you're gonna play the, you know they're going to kind of probably re-release that, like GTA re-release it, like Rockstar re-releases GTA. It's a lot of stuff to hold, but at the same time, like, is it good stuff to hold? Same thing with the kind of the Activision buyout. If you're a Sony gamer, like, are you a Sony gamer because you get to also play Call of Duty, or are you okay with that leaving? Because, like you said earlier, Activision only really has 2-3 games that really knocks out the park for them every year, or guaranteed. So I saw people mentioning Overwatch being a huge loss, but if you ask people playing Overwatch right now,
they're not happy. Overwatch fans aren't happy.
Yeah, they're not really stressing it.
I don't blame them. But.
Yeah, so like a lot of us bounced off Overwatch halfway through its life phase, like, pretty quickly. So I mean, like, even that's not a guaranteed hit anymore. So it's like, it's nothing to really worry about. And I find it strange also, and I want to say this, I find it strange that people are so worried about certain companies like a Sony as if they have any stake in Sony. Like, they're a company, they'll be fine. Like, they'll be absolutely fine regardless. But just creatively speaking, I hope this sparks something greater in Sony and Nintendo, where it's like, okay, Microsoft has X cut of the market now. We need to step up some aspect of what we do. So PlayStation needs to, I feel like this is the perfect time for PlayStation to step up and really be like, all right, let's get that Legend of Dragoon remake we've been talking about for like 70 years out finally. Anything like that, like, get off the table like now, because that's going only to help your overall reputation.
Yeah, I'll just say quickly on the Sony thing. Like, I've always viewed Sony since the PS3, really, the end of the PS3 and into the PS4, and now with PS5. Like, they're very much an Apple or an HBO of their. They're very selective on what they greenlight and what they put their money and power behind. And 9 times out of 10, it works out for them. And that's how, you know, they have gotten the brand recognition of being the best right now. You know, like, if you want the best games, you're going to play them on PlayStation. And there's some truth to that. I mean, there's flaws to that logic as well. It's like, unless every single one of those Sony games hits for you, like, you know, it's hard to justify it sometimes. Like, if you really liked God of War, but you don't like Horizon or Gran Turismo, there's nothing for you for the PlayStation 5, except maybe God of War, which doesn't have a definite date. So it's like, that's the problem with that model. I'm someone who I'm very eclectic and most of their games hit for me. But so I'd like to see them branch out in that way. I want to see some more multiplayer stuff from them, and I want to see them greenlight some new stuff. Like, you know, their big three games coming out this year, Gran Turismo, Horizon, and God of War. Those are all IPs we already know, which is not a problem. Like, Horizon is only, you know, it's a newer IP, but I'm more just saying that they need to keep doing what they're doing, and that's what they're going to do. You know, like, they're going to keep buying smaller studios and then using them to leverage to create new IP and do basically exactly how they got there. I don't see that PS2 as a problem.
Let's go. Return to PS2 model. Like
everything.
Like, literally everything. It comes through, like, what game is this? Like, I don't know what this is. Like,
I can't even read the name. It's in a different language.
Like, parappa. Like, yeah, release, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. All the way.
All right, that's going to do it. We said we're going to be 20 minutes. We're over that. So just want to give a quick shout out. Thanks for the text messages on that. We got one more of the text messages, but we're going to roll that into the next episode. If you're hearing this now, I'm going to announce that at the beginning. Yeah. Try that again. Announce this at the beginning of the next episode. This will be going live the same time, give or take a couple hours, as our new episode. This is just a bonus. So, all right, you will see us next time. We're going to be talking about Archvale.
Good day, sirs.